Station, WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. Joy for the friends and relatives of hostage Elkanah Bobot. These sounds from the hostage release forum. He was one of the 20 living hostages freed by Hamas. And that means that all living Israeli hostages have been released after 2 years in captivity. Meanwhile, two Red Cross buses carrying Palestinian prisoners have left a prison in Israel. All of this, the first phase of the ceasefire agreement brokered by President Trump, who was set to address the Israeli parliament, then co-chair a peace summit in Egypt about the future of the region. Both Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas will be there. ABC security contributor Steve Hill says long-term,
the big threat now that the international community is going to be concerned on is, whilst we should celebrate today, looking forward to step two and step three, a long-standing, enduring peace.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on WISS.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Candy's family still has trouble watching one of his biggest hits. Candy was self-conscious about his weight throughout his career and did not like the mud wrestling scene in Stripes. Candy passed away in 1994. He insisted on wearing a shirt throughout the entire scene due to his modesty, despite being encouraged to take it off by other filmmakers and cast. You can learn more about what made one of the most beloved Hollywood icons tick in the documentary John Candy, I Like Me, which dropped Friday, October 10th on Prime. When the live-action version of Snow White failed at the box office, Disney got cold feet and halted production on the live version of Tangled. Now it appears the production is back on and has its sights set on Scarlett Johansson for the role of Mother Gothel. There is no word yet on who will play Rapunzel or Flynn Rider or any other cast for that matter. Michael Gracie, who directed The Greatest Showman, will head up the project. You had me at Scarlett Johansson. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Dodgers in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and Dodgers in Game 1 of the National League Championship Series, the best of seven. Manager Pat Murphy asked about how the Dodgers have yet to beat the Brewers this year.
Your team handled the Dodgers 6-0.
Yeah, I mean, we're not overconfident, that's for sure. Dodgers are a powerhouse. What can you say? You don't see many commercials anywhere across the world and you don't have Dodgers in it because they have the star power. They're great players.
Game 1 tonight in Milwaukee. NBA, the Bucks and Bulls got physical last night in Chicago. Bulls guard Emmanuel Miller left due to a chipped tooth. Another Bulls player with a cut above the eye, Dalian Terry, ejected after a fight with the Bucks' Taurean Prince. Milwaukee won the preseason contest, 127-121. NFL, Packers with a 27-18 victory over the Bengals, thanks to some key receptions from rookie Matthew Golden.
Man, he adds another explosive playmaker. I think he made some big-time plays today.
That's quarterback Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight from HBO's Task, I welcome Jamie McShane and comedian and host of the WGN Morning Show, Mike Toomey. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on WISS, Oshkosh and Appleton.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, a chance of showers. We'll see a low around 52. Slight chance of a shower to start your Monday, then becoming sunny in the afternoon with highs in the upper 60s to near 70 degrees. Monday night, clear, 41. Tuesday, partly sunny with highs near 60.
It's 57 at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I like these organized mazes much, much better. On our street, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. We were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. They thought we were playing hide and seek, so even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down until we found them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. You can win tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha, and Jane Matinair is in to talk about headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Well, not as much sunshine as I had hoped for on the weekend, but it looks like we might pick up a little bit more this week. Welcome to a Monday, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Yeah, so today we've got a chance of showers in the forecast. Daytime highs a little warmer than what we experienced over the weekend, probably around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, cloudy skies and 63. Wednesday, more rain in the forecast, a little cooler, 61 our expected high. And Thursday, again, a chance of rain, 62. How much rain and what kind of chance do we have of getting it? Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, joins us in about 15 minutes with all those weather details. Going to chat with my friend Charlie Behrens this morning. You might know him from the Manitowoc Minute or maybe his Cripes Cast broadcast. Well, he's also a partner of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. They just launched the new Born to Dairy campaign, and Charlie is part of the storytelling process. He's going to be one of our guests as we roll our way through a Monday morning. Just around the corner, Ben Jarboe is stepping in to give us an update from World Dairy Expo, talking about what's happening with milk production, milk marketing, and milk policy. That's all on the way.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy-efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
We're number one! We're number one!
The Pioneer brand 4-seedless corn team beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm.
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility, yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
The global cattle industry is facing many diseases, whether it be foot and mouth or lumpy skin diseases in Europe or the bird flu in the U.S. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarboe. But according to Jamie Jonker, the chief science officer with the National Milk Producers Federation, the New World screwworm should be the most worrisome for U.S. producers. He is here to give an update on each of these diseases and share why we should care about them all, even if some of them are worlds away.
So there's two different genotypes that have affected dairy cattle from the H5N1 version of HiPath AI. The first one is called the B3.13 genotype. That's the one that initially infected animals in the Texas Panhandle and is responsible for the vast majority of these roughly 1,080 dairy farms that have been infected with H5N1. Then the newer one that came in two different spillover events this past winter is called the D1.1 genotype. Now, they're both still H5N1, but the genetics are different enough that they have different names to them. The D1.1 also came from migratory birds like the B313 did, and it has the same types of symptoms as the B313, but the D1.1 seems to be a lot less virulent in dairy cattle, and so the herds that have this, when they have cows that show clinical symptoms, they look like they do with the first B313, but the number of animals that have clinical symptoms is way less.
Now, if we take a look overseas at some diseases that we've heard about but may not necessarily know a ton, let's look at the foot and mouth disease first. Within the last couple of years, we've seen some cases of that in Europe. What exactly is this disease, and how is it being spread over there?
Yeah, so foot and mouth disease is the disease of most economic consequence in cattle worldwide, and more than 60% of the countries in the world have it endemically. But in Europe and in most of the Americas, it's been eradicated. Earlier this year, there was two separate outbreaks, one in Germany and one in Hungary and Slovakia along their border. Both of those FMD outbreaks, which are the first outbreaks those areas have had in 30 or more years, are what's called the type O strain. And these two different outbreaks had fingerprints, one that was related in Germany, most related to a more strain that came out of Pakistan in 2018, and the one in Slovakia and Hungary, a type O from elsewhere that was like a 2020 strain. So the question is, so those are years ago, and we have these outbreaks that are separated by a fair bit of geography. The likelihood is that they come from incidental importation of contaminated meat that then gets near susceptible animals. And so in the case of Germany, it was water buffalo. In Slovakia and Hungary, it was cattle. Most of those were dairy cattle. And so it's likely the importation, and probably the illegal importation of meat that's made from animals that actually had FMD virus.
Well, and if we talk now about another one that you were mentioning, the lumpy skin disease, also that is what's being seen in the EU or has been recently, not quite here, but what exactly is that? How did that get spread?
So lumpy skin disease is a virus that is often carried by insects, flies, mosquitoes, other arthropods. The most recent outbreaks that have occurred in Sardinia, Italy and mainland France looks to have originated in an outbreak from Tunisia. From Tunisia to the initial outbreak in Sardinia, there was not a transportation of infected animals. So that means it likely came through those insects in some capacity. Possibly that they came over on shipments, boats coming from Tunisia to Sardinia, or even the possibility of the insects being caught up in winds that brought them a few hundred miles. And so in that case, it's potentially, call it an environmental spread because of the insects being blown. Once it gets in the local population, there is then localized spread that is both, in particularly in Sardinia, animal-to-animal contact and additional insect spread. Now, lumpy skin disease can be controlled through vaccination processes, and that's what has been happening in Sardinia, Italy, and France, and those do seem to be working very well. But this is the first time that lumpy skin disease has been found in any of those European areas ever. And so it's an indication of how disease can travel and why we need to pay attention to what's happening elsewhere in the world with diseases that can impact dairy cattle here, because we want to understand what's happening so that if there's an elevated risk, which there is not for lumpy skin disease, but if something changes and it moved from Africa or Europe into the Americas somewhere, we want to understand how did it get there, what happened, and what do we need to do to elevate our potential risk mitigations.
Let's move on to something that we care a lot about now that we are very worried about with the new world screwworm. Now that we are seeing it here close to the U.S. again, close to Laredo there, what is the U.S. working on? What is being seen at the border to try to keep it out? And I know you mentioned almost falling behind trying to play catch up. So what's exactly happening with that?
Yeah, so what USDA has done multiple things. They're working with the Mexican government on helping to better understand where it is in Mexico, helping Mexico work better on its zoning and helping to work better to prevent the illegal movement of animals from infected areas to non-infected areas. That's one part. We've also closed the U.S. border to cattle, bison, and horses from Mexico. That happened last year, and that remains closed. The U.S. has also worked with the Panamanian government to increase the output of the sterile flies from the plant in Panama to now 100 million flies a week. USDA is working with Mexico to reinvigorate a plant that they closed to produce sterile flies. That should be open sometime in the first to maybe second quarter of next year. USDA is also has announced that they're building our own plant in Texas with that they hope to have the capabilities of producing about 300 million sterile flies. Once that's up and running, that's going to take a little bit longer because that's going to be from the ground up.
Jonker says that one thing we learned from the bird flu is the ability for these diseases and organisms to spread pretty rapidly. He also says that if the screwworm were able to make it into the U.S., that the movement of dairy cattle north and south could spread it even faster. And although it's not necessarily right here in Wisconsin, it is something we should be worried about. And even if it dies during the winter, there's still 6 to 9 months where it can survive. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway. And from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping. When they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children, right. So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allbull Show.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm back with one of the most reasonable guys in politics, Tom Pulsiewicz. We dig into what the Pope has recently had to say about Donald Trump's anti-immigrant policies. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, WISS.
Our forecast for this week is looking like we should see a little bit more sunshine. That's kind of the good news about what's happening with our weather. Our daytime highs today are going to be under some cloudy skies. That's the problem here. Doesn't look like we're necessarily going to pick up a lot of heat until maybe a little bit later this week. Thanks to Butch this morning, who is already checking in from the Alto area. He said 5 a.m. the sprinkles have just started. He'd like to keep going with the harvest, but he also recognizes that they really need to get a little rain on that ground. Thanks, Butch. Rocky up in Tatecheeta, just a couple drips so far in the morning. But again, like I said, everybody kind of hoping for maybe just a little bit of rain. Give us a chance to take a break with the harvest. And also, more importantly, give us a chance to maybe get a little bit more rain out there. We're going to get back with more weather forecast details, and hopefully we'll see if we can get to our man Stu Mock. That's coming up in just a moment.
Plant the 100 seeds. Pioneer.
Get ready, Wisconsin. 10 days.
Packed with discovery, fun, and excitement are coming your way.
It's the Wisconsin Science Festival, October 16th through the 26th, with over 200 events in more than 50 counties.
You'll find something for everyone. Kids, families, and lifelong learners.
This year's theme, rock and roll.
Dive into music, motion, and geology with interactive events.
Don't miss the fun. Visit wisci-fest.org to find events near you.
25 chilly degrees in Calgary, Alberta this morning. I just thought I'd bring that up because some of my travelers that have gone with me on farm tour know that community. Around our area, it doesn't look like we're going to see nearly that kind of weather. Rain in the forecast today and tomorrow, quite honestly. Today will bounce up to about 69 degrees under cloudy skies. Overnight low is expected to be down around 46 degrees. If we take a look at tomorrow's forecast, again, rain is in the forecast. We're looking for a daytime high tomorrow to be right around 67 degrees with an overnight low down to about 49 degrees. And then Wednesday, partly cloudy skies, maybe mostly cloudy skies. Looks like we got about a 41% chance of rain on Wednesday, 58. By the end of the week, though, we're seeing temperatures bounce up to about 75 degrees. Again, ag weather this morning brought to you courtesy of our friends of Compure Financial. Remember, they're your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. So if you're looking at that little slice of paradise, maybe starting to think a little bit about hunting land, well, they'll help you out there. Just go to compure.com. You'll find a lot of great resources right there to help you out. Resources, that's exactly what the nation's farmers have been looking for. And now we're learning that the Trump administration will not move forward on any financial assistance for producers until the federal government is back in session. Successful Farming said that comes directly from Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins. On September 28th, the administration transferred $13 billion from the Commodity Credit Corporation account to fund the aid package, but it hasn't announced the terms or the exact size of the package. Rollins said the government needs to be reopened so they can move forward on the assistance. Once we do that, she says, we'll be able to move out a significant portion to farmers. Secretary and President Trump said the sluggish farm economy is because of President Joe Biden's inaction. Trump also told reporters that he would address China's lack of soybean purchases when he meets with China. But again, markets collapsed on Friday in Chicago because they postponed any of those conversations. So like I said, farmers, do not start thinking that there's money coming your way, because until groups like our Farm Service Agency offices get back into the groove of things, that's not going to allow for any distribution. You know, we do have to keep an eye on that, though. Remember, this week we are supposed to get our next U.S. milk production figures coming out on the, well, be later this week. And without that report, again, as we talked about last week with Jenny Wackershauser from EVRAG, if we don't have that report, then that means that our dairy farmers cannot pull the trigger on dairy revenue protection. We'll be doing a little deeper dive on what's going on with that report, as well as what we have as a backup plan to trigger the dairy revenue protection program. But like I said, with the federal government shut down, the lack of information in the marketplace is not only roiling traders every day in Chicago, but it's also putting a crimp in some of the backup plans, the insurance plans that a lot of our dairy farmers would have been looking forward to. Again, Talk Text Line is open for you. If you're out there this morning seeing some dribbles, I'd love to hear from you. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. On the way, did you know that Wisconsin has only one large-scale cottage cheese manufacturing plant, and it happens to be in western Wisconsin. Cottage cheese has turned into such a popular food with the craze for high-protein diets and the clean label movement that one western Wisconsin creamery is putting in $14 million worth of expansion plans, counting on consumers to make sure that they continue to want that cottage cheese. We've got that story on the way. So glad you're along with us.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Matt and Air on Air, where Civic Media News Director Shelley Pittman joins.
Earlier, we were talking about possible funding cuts to the Wisconsin library system due to the big bill for billionaires. And Shelley, you wanted to take a moment to talk about the libraries.
The IMLS, the Institute for Museum and Library Science, is another one of those agencies that doesn't get a lot of attention until it's on the chopping block. So the IMLS program funds sort of new, sometimes experimental programs for libraries to use. The IMLS also funds the statewide interlibrary loan program. So this is how rural libraries are most likely to be affected, is because this is what makes your interlibrary loan possible. This is what allows you to get, but you know, if you're in a small library, and I grew up in a sort of rural library, this is what allows you to get books from bigger institutions. And sometimes that might take a little bit. And I think I've only ever had like two requests not be able to be filled because I was asking for some really detailed out there stuff.
Yeah.
But eventually it comes. And so this is how rural libraries are affected. But the IMLS also gives out specific grant funding to different institutions. And keep in mind, it's for library science and for museums. Mm-hmm. So last year, the IMLS distributed a good chunk of money to a good number of kind of programs in Wisconsin. So the Ho-Chunk got $142,000. The Oneida Nation got $86,000. I have other numbers here. The Wisconsin Historical Society got $177,000. The Door County Historical Society got $20,000.
And I saw a comment come in the live stream from Jenny. Says, I support and look to libraries as a steward of history at learning and free thinking. The rare books room at the MPL Central in downtown Milwaukee, and free events to learn new professional skills via workshops. And here's what really kicks me in the teeth and makes me feel like sick about it, and it's something you just mentioned too. Also, local libraries are often the only source of free internet and computer services that many communities, especially rural ones, have access to. And that's something that we seem to always come back to, is these cuts that are coming from the federal government are going to hurt the rural areas a lot. You know, we're talking about hospital closures, talk about libraries. So that's something to always keep in mind. So I appreciate you bringing that to light, especially your experience about growing up in libraries, essentially. That's very, very wonderful. And thank you for the information on that as well.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. Joy for the friends and relatives of hostage Elkanah Boban. These sounds from the hostage release forum. He was one of the 20 living hostages freed by Hamas. And that means that all living Israeli hostages have been released after 2 years in captivity. Meanwhile, two Red Cross buses carrying Palestinian prisoners have left a prison in Israel. All of this, the first phase of the ceasefire agreement brokered by President Trump, who was set to address the Israeli parliament, then co-chair a peace summit in Egypt about the future of the region. Both Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas will be there. ABC security contributor Steve Hill says long term,
the big threat now that the international community is going to be concerned on is, whilst we should celebrate today, looking forward to step two and step three, a long-standing enduring peace.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Dodgers in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and Dodgers in Game 1 of the National League Championship Series, the best of seven. Manager Pat Murphy asked about how the Dodgers have yet to beat the Brewers this year.
Your team handled the Dodgers 6-0.
Yeah, I mean, we're not overconfident, that's for sure. Dodgers are a powerhouse. What can you say? You don't see many commercials anywhere across the world and you don't have Dodgers in it because they have the star power. They're great players.
Game 1 tonight in Milwaukee. NBA, the Bucks and Bulls got physical last night in Chicago. Bulls guard Emmanuel Miller left due to a chipped tooth. Another Bulls player with a cut above the eye, Dalian Terry, ejected after a fight with the Bucks' Taurean Prince. Milwaukee won the preseason contest, 127-121. NFL, Packers with a 27-18 victory over the Bengals, thanks to some key receptions from rookie Matthew Golden.
Man, he adds another explosive playmaker. You know, I think he made some big-time plays today.
That's quarterback Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the view from across the pond for Democrats who live overseas? We're going to hear from George King IV from Democrats Abroad. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on WISS, Oshkosh, and Appleton.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, a chance of showers. We'll see a low around 52. Slight chance of a shower to start your Monday, then becoming sunny in the afternoon with highs in the upper 60s to near 70 degrees. Monday night, clear, 41. Tuesday, partly sunny with highs near 60.
It's 57 at our studios.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview with State Senator Jody Hevesh-Sinkin on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I introduced the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Reauthorization Bill, which we've been working on for months, building community with stakeholders, with organizations around the state, and other legislators across the aisle, because it is a program that is singularly popular in Wisconsin. It has a recent statewide poll has it as over 90% favorable, which in these days and times is, I can't think of anything that's comparable to that level of popularity. And unfortunately, it did not get funded in the budget that passed this early July. So it was something that we really wanted to make sure would move forward. And we introduced a bill because the Republican bill that was introduced, while in good faith, has a particular oversight mechanism which would make the program impractical and not be able to serve its function.
What's this obstacle that you spoke of, this oversight mechanism that you believe makes the Republican funding bill of the Knowles-Nelson program untenable?
Essentially, the Republican bill that was introduced, again, with good intention, because remember, not one single Republican voted to reauthorize the program during the budget process. So these two Republicans, Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston, introduced a bill to try to also save the program. But what it includes is an oversight mechanism, just a fancy word for how land acquisitions will be reviewed, that would be fundamentally impractical or not workable. It would require certain land acquisitions to go through the entirety of the legislative process, through the Assembly, through the Senate, all its committees and working groups, and ultimately the governor. Sometimes that could take up to a year and a half, 2 years or get tied up and never happen.
Indefinitely.
And that oversight mechanism is what we have worked on in our bill to replace with something that is transparent and accountable. It would be with a Knowles-Nelson stewardship board that would include representatives from both parties, from both the Senate, the Assembly, the DNR, the Natural Resources Conservation Organization, the tribes, just a wonderful mix of citizens. That is really what this type of oversight should be all about anyway. Something that's open, transparent, that the public can watch carefully.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
The Zone.
We are focused in on all things dairy here on a Monday morning. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We're going to be chatting with Charlie Behrens. You may know him from Manitowoc Minute or his Cripes Cast podcast. I'm a friend of Charlie's, and Charlie's a friend of the dairy industry. He just collaborated with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to produce the brand new Born to Dairy campaign. We're going to find out about his role and the stories that he likes to share in just a little bit. Also, I'll be joined by Chad Vincent, CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, to talk about how international demand remains pretty strong for Wisconsin cheese. And Ben Miller, he's Senior Vice President of Industry Relations, to explain the story that he shares with people that are working on important dairy-related projects. So today is the 13th day of October. What can I tell you? Let's see, on this day, back in 1792... construction started on the White House. Now, it was a drawn-out process. There were world events that got in the way, all kinds of setbacks, but it started on this day back in 1792. On this day, 1958, Paddington Bear makes his debut, something that started in the European Union. It's now global. Paddington Bear debuts on this day back in 1958. A happy birthday for you this morning, too, to singer-songwriter Paul Simon. He is 84 years young, and now you know. What you may not know is Wisconsin is home to just one commercial-sized cottage cheese factory, and it's in western Wisconsin. Westby Cooperative Creamery has seen the high demand for protein and clean labels drive their business. Emily Bielkowski is their sales and marketing manager. She said they are investing $14.1 million to modernize their Westby facility just to keep up with consumption.
It is nutrient dense, lower calorie, and it's an affordable protein source as well. We know, you know, the cost of groceries in general is going up everywhere. So this is a nice option for people who are looking to have that higher protein diet. Another factor is we know that GLP-1 pharmaceuticals, protein intake is really important for people who are on those pharmaceuticals. And so again, this is a great source of protein for people.
Emily Bielkowski, the sales and marketing manager at Westby Cooperative Creamery, she said that this is not a trend that they expect to change anytime soon. They had, as of February, store-branded cottage cheeses in the United States saw a 6.5% increase in sales. Some of the national brands saw an increase of over 25%. So Westby Co-op Creamery and their cottage cheese manufacturing just trying to keep up with demand. Markets are next.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Dairy pumps that were designed more than 50 years ago do not meet today's large dairy farm requirements. Bopeller pumps by McFinn Technologies were born and patented this century with a unique and innovative design that ensures gentle, low-shear pumping along with efficient, high-capacity, and long seal life. Bopeller pumps for all your applications will ensure your dairy is operating with 21st century technology. Bopeller is American innovation. Contact your dealer today.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand Vorseed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Vorseed Enlist beats DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro yields by an average of 7.1 bushels per acre across more than 24,000 comparisons, right?
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist has three modes of action against corn rootworm.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Well, until the government is back in action, it does not look like we'll see any financial assistance going to the nation's farmers. Chad Smith's got more.
The overall U.S. farm economy is in very bad shape, and the long-term viability of the sector is in danger. Brian Glenn, Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation, says costs have skyrocketed while commodity prices have dropped sharply.
Cost pressures from labor, regulatory compliance, fertilizer, and energy have eroded margins for farmers, while their crop receipts have also fallen steeply since 2022. Since 2022, U.S. ag has also experienced a trade deficit, and persistent non-tariff trade barriers have added to the volatility.
Both beginning and veteran farmers are having to make tough choices to survive. Farm Bureau sent a letter to Congress and the White House asking for immediate assistance.
In the short term, we urge leaders to authorize bridge payments for farmers before the end of 2025. These payments must be robust enough to address sector-wide gaps as the federal government continues to work to recalibrate trade strategies, stabilize prices, and strengthen key market relationships.
Glenn said it's vital that Congress and the administration move quickly to help U.S. farmers and ranchers.
It is extremely important that the administration and Congress move quickly to authorize bridge payments for farmers before the end of 2025, really to keep farmers afloat, and that we need swift and decisive action taken on policy solutions to increase market access and opportunities for farmers.
To read the letters, go to fb.org and click on the news section. Chad Smith, Washington.
Thanks, Chad. Markets broke down on Friday when the United States and China decided that they were not going to communicate. Not much better on a Monday morning. In overnight trade, December new crop corn right now is up a half at 413. November new crop beans up two at 1008. July wheats down a half, 539. Barrel cheese on Friday was down three at 171. 40-pound block cheese down six at 170. Double A butter gained a quarter of a cent to 160 and a half. The November class three milk that goes into cheese this morning down seven, 1614 a hundredweight.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national databanks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Oh, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight from HBO's Task, I welcome Jamie McShane and comedian and host of the WGN Morning Show, Mike Toomey. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
ORG. Got a chance to catch up with Chad Vincent. He is the CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. So much conversation these days about what's happening with the international marketplace. Vincent wanted to make sure that Wisconsin dairy farmers and consumers know our product is still preferred both within our borders and beyond.
Yeah, it's growing and it's important and it's critical, actually, for our long-term growth of the industry.
And where are we finding success? We always talk about specialty cheese. Is that where we're delivering?
Well, you know, what we deliver across the board on dairy, we're powder, we're butter, we're everything. But we focus in on the cheese because it's how we differentiate. In a world where the commodity prices are on like the quarter of a penny, by getting the focusing on specialty, it gets us in the door, builds those relationships, and then everything else is going to follow.
And people might be shocked to realize how many countries are already fully buying in on the Wisconsin dairy story.
Absolutely. I mean, over 100 countries out there. That it's getting harder and harder to find a place on the planet where you can't find Wisconsin cheese now.
And once those relationships and markets are established, even with conversations about tariffs, you can't find it anywhere else.
You can't. And, you know, the conversation, Pam, is really critical because people, like, with all the consternation and the turmoil around exports, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, we're doing what we have to do, and that is you maintain the relationships. We might sell a little bit more, although Wisconsin cheese sales exports are up, and with Wisconsin ag overall, this is like the second highest year in history. So things are still working for us, but you can't pull out when things get tight. You got to build those relationships and keep it going and keep the milk flowing.
Chad Vincent sharing the message of how Wisconsin dairy is still finding favor in the global marketplace. We were chatting at World Dairy Expo, where I also caught up with Ben Miller. He's the Senior Vice President of Industry Relations for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, a relatively new position within the organization. He explains exactly what his role is on behalf of the state's dairy farmers.
Yeah, I make connections. I represent the organization before all of the other dairy organizations in the state, educate lawmakers, legislators. We don't lobby. We just bring attention to the industry. We showcase the impact it has on the state's economy and represent DFW and our farmers, both here in Wisconsin and at the national level, before all the organizations that work on ag.
Now, how is that message received when you go to the state capitol or when you're with other dairy groups? Give the dairy farmers that are helping to pay for those experiences a sense of reaction.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have very few legislators still that have a direct connection to agriculture. And so it's really important that we bring to them the various ways that the industry impacts the state. You know, when we talk about $52.8 billion in economic activity, they're really blown away by that number, 120,000 jobs. This is a driver of our state's economic future, and it's important for them to understand that as they make decisions.
Well, and you also turn into a great resource if they've got questions going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should also say, you know, the Center for Dairy Research at the UW-Madison campus would not be the Center for Dairy Research if it wasn't for our dairy farmers of Wisconsin. Back in 1994, the dairy farmers decided that they would enter a partnership and invest and partner with the university. And this is a resource that legislators, you know, look to for questions. And I think, you know, more importantly, the industry as a whole is looking for innovative solutions, new products, technical solutions, and growing demand for our products.
So many people to try to educate on the power of Wisconsin dairy and its potential. That's Ben Miller, Senior Vice President of Industry Relations. Now, not all the messages were heavy at World Dairy Expo. In fact, one new program that's just been recently launched by Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, Born to Dairy. It's basically cameos of some of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin board members, and it is part of the creative genius behind Charlie Behrens, known as his Manitowoc Minute Cripes Cast podcast. He is a voice that many Wisconsin dairy farmers recognize, and he partnered up with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to create some of the content of Born to Dairy. He explains why he's always been passionate about this industry.
Obviously, I love to dairy, and I'm talking all kinds of dairy here, Pam. I'm talking milk, I'm talking cheese, I'm talking ice cream, I'm talking whipped cream, I'm talking cottage cheese. You know, I'll get wild and crazy with it, okay? But I'm down to dairy pretty much whatever.
So when they come to you with this idea of kind of putting a little bit of a humorous flair on dairy. Now, you've been working dairy since you were Manitowoc Minute way a million years ago. What did you suddenly think about? How am I?
Well, you know, on this one, they were just trying to come up with creative ways to... Look, there's so many different types of dairy farmers. And you meet them all way more than I do, but... the cool thing about this whole deal is it highlights just different ages, different like types of people. And we do these videos, like sketch type videos, like types of Packers fans, for instance, or whatever. So this is kind of like a types of dairy farmers. And, you know, you got your MacGyver, you got your Alice in Dairyland, you got, you know, your Meemaw kind of character, you know. I mean, you got everyone here, and everyone's got their own flavor. So
you know, what I don't want people to forget is this is work. I mean, you're really good at what you do, Charlie, but you work at it. You study these kinds of things. You really do pay attention to the tempo of dairy farming.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do. That must be why I look so tired, because I was up late last night studying.
Golly.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's the kind of thing where, you know, you grow up in Wisconsin, America's Dairyland, you grow up around it. Yeah. And then over time, you just meet more people in the deal. I play the state fair. I mean, it's impossible to go to the state fair the number of times I've gone without doing it. I've got, you know, buddies who have farms. I go help them out, and just that's really it. But I mean, I think the other thing to say is, like, as much as I may study it, I'm not it. But I got so much respect for the people who are it and work it. Day in, day out, you know, someone like yourself, Pam, you know, I mean, I know you guys still have that farm up there, don't you? Yeah. And, you know, so if you're tired, you know, it's for completely different reasons, because you had actual work to do. And well, I'm going to keep bringing this up through the course of the interview.
Obviously. Well, like I said, I'm not ducking it, because this is the way Charlie and I visit. Now, let's talk a little bit about what happens from now on. Is there another phase that you're going to be involved with? Will we see this on your social media feeds?
Yeah, so this is going to be, I think we got this going up on the social medias. Okay. And there's a series of kind of videos that's going to go up, so that's going to be fun. And, you know, it's kind of also got my mind going about, like, different kinds of videos. Like, we've always wanted to do, like, a sort of a first-time dairy farmer. I kind of do these first-time type videos so I can go play the idiot that I am. And it's really method acting at that point, you know? So we've actually been talking with a couple folks. One's a friend of a guy I work with about maybe going over there and doing something like that. And that's just for fun. And it's really just to highlight the cool thing about Wisconsin, you know, and that is that dairy is a huge part of this culture. And I think it's especially important to really highlight that and celebrate that at a time when you got, like, all these data centers coming in. And it's like, oh, okay, so... that's going to be the thing now, you know, but I think we got to celebrate what we love before, you know, we lose it. You know?
Hey, you make a good point. People have been paying attention to your conversation about data centers in rural communities. When you do a project like Born to Dairy, does that inspire sometimes, let's say your stand-up, where you're, you know, a series that take you across the United States, you know, you are our ambassador, whether you like it or not, whether we like it or not. Do you find a way to weave some of that in a fun way, but also kind of a, hey, did you know?
Well, I think it's very important. It's always got to be funny first, but there, you know, we've definitely found some ways to make light of that situation. But it's tough, especially with technology as it moves exponentially fast. It's getting harder and harder for people to catch up on this stuff and know what's going on. A big thing with comedy is recognition, and if people don't recognize or realize this is happening, with through no fault of their own, they got jobs, they got all their own stuff. But then so it's a bit of informing, and then you can make some jokes off of it from there. You know, that's sort of, even the Manitowoc Man, you look at it, it's headline, punchline, headline, punchline. So the headline, you know what's going on, and then you can have a punchline. So it's part of that, you know.
I do know. That's my friend Charlie Behrens. You know him from Manitowoc Minute, Cripes Cast, and, of course, performances all across the state. Now he's partnered with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin to put a little lighter spin on the hardworking dairy farm families that are out there. Maybe you can identify with one of them. You want to see the campaign? Jump online. BornToDairy.com. Just a part of the hardworking dairy farm families checkoff dollars at work, bringing visibility to the quality of the state's dairy products and continuing to promote them beyond our borders. Again, BornToDairy.com, WisconsinDairy.org. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Alball Show.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.FM and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up. Email info at WISS.FM. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
The renewable fuels community is pumped about E15 in California. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing the Ag Safety and Health Campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthshoreProductions.com. A farm can be a great place to raise a family, but it can also be a dangerous place for children. Kids can learn a lot about work and responsibility, but you have to use good judgment when assigning tasks. It's best to wait if you're not certain a child is up to the task. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthshoreProductions.com. California has approved the sale of E15 blended gasoline. It was the last state in the U.S. to do so, and it came around the same time that Derek Piney was elected chairman of the Renewable Fuels Association.
What a great outcome to get unanimous votes all the way through the process and then have the governor sign off on it. And this is a big deal for our industry and a great, great accomplishment. And it tells you that not only the legislators in California want it, but clearly the consumers in California want it.
While E15 sales are allowed now in all 50 states, many still prohibit summertime use. Piney says that's also on the agenda.
With RFA, the number one priority has been E15 for year-round for nationwide, and this is a big step. We'll put a lot of pressure, hopefully, on the U.S. Congress to be able to do something that California has done very clearly and actually pretty quickly once they got started on it.
Piney says public support is pushing in this direction.
RFA polling shows that the public supports 67% of voters have a favorable view of ethanol, and 74% see renewable fuels as the key to energy independence.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. You can win tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha, and Jane Matinere is in to talk about headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
It's
the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shorelines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. A standing ovation for President Trump in the Israeli parliament shortly after all 20 living hostages returned to Israel. Speaker of the Knesset, Amir Ohana, said he's nominating the president for the Nobel Peace Prize.
President Trump, you are the president of peace. There was not a single person on this planet who did more than you to advance peace.
And two buses of Palestinian prisoners have left an Israeli prison under the terms of the first phase of the peace agreement. President Trump will co-chair a peace summit later today in Egypt with other world leaders focusing on a long-term peace in the region. ABC contributor Steve Ganyard, a former defense official, says
what happens next is really the question that's for the broader international community. Who's going to come in and be the international security force? Who's going to lead it?
This is ABC News.